Please open your Bibles this morning to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we'll look at verses 22 to 25. And also, would you find Ezekiel 33? Don't fret. Ezekiel's full of visions and dreams, I know, but we're not going to get too deep in, but use it sort of as an illustration of James chapter 1. So James 1, verse 22, Ezekiel 33 and verse 23. Find those two places if you would. How important is it that we heed a warning sign? Mary Jean and I were over in Israel, as you know, in 96, and we were on the Jordan border, up on the Transjordan side, on the east side of the Jordan River, on the Jordan border, and there were some signs on the other side of a fence, and we asked what those means, and it said, the sign said landmines. There were explosive landmines, of course, to protect the border, and that's what they did there. And so you wonder, did anybody climb the fence? No. Did anybody jump over and go pick flowers? No. We stayed on our side. We gave heed to the warning. Other signs often go unheeded. I was thinking about this, walking into a grocery store or to a hospital or the mall. And sometimes you'll see that sign there says wet floors. I usually look when I see that. Do you? I look for the wet floors. I never see wet floors. They're already dried by the time I get to it. But I still try to be careful if there's something there that I need to be aware of. When God offers a warning, when there's a warning sign in Scripture, do you take time to consider it? I mean, really, like landmines. Is it important to you to consider what God warns us about? In James chapter 1 and verse 22, when God offers a warning here, it's one that we had better give heed to. Okay, so look at verse 22. Very simple, very common, known verse. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we're in danger of what? Deceiving ourselves. Okay, that's the warning here, kind of in this verse. There's a warning to beware lest you be deceived. Lest, you could say, lest you believe something that's not true. What is this? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if that's you, you could be deceived. So I ask myself the question, well, how so? How can I be deceived? Well, I could pride myself on studying the Word of God, knowing the facts about the Word of God. I could pride myself in that. But if I did, I would be deceived into thinking if that's as far as I went into the Word, just studying it, just knowing the Bible and thinking to myself, I'm sure this pleases the Lord, then you would be deceived, or I would be deceived. You say, really? God's Word will only help you and it will only please the Lord if you not only hear it, James says, but you also do what it says. Brothers and sisters, Corinth Baptist Church, believers of the 21st century, this is for us. It's not enough to hear the Word of God. And you hear a lot of the Word of God at Corinth Baptist Church. There are three messages preached on Sunday. Some of us are going to the nursing home. You hear two more down there. You come here on Wednesday night and there's another message. You get a lot of the Word of God. And I trust you're studying the Word on your own. And if you think your studying is going to help you, if that's all you do, and if you think it's going to please God that you study the Word of God and you have it, you've been through the ranks, so to speak, then you're deceived because God's not pleased if we stop with being hearers, if we stop with learning, we also have to be doers. Have to be doers of the word. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to say a little bit. Didn't think about that. But we can't just be hearers. That's not enough. We have to be doers of the word. William MacDonald says, to profess great love for God's word or even to pose as a Bible student is a form of self-deception unless our increasing knowledge of the word is producing an increasing likeness to Christ. Now, please hear. Is your time in the Word of God here at Corinth Baptist Church and whatever time you spend privately, is it making a difference in who you are? Let me ask you to think to yourself, what has changed about you spiritually in the last year? People could say to me, do you think your people, as a pastor, do you think your people are growing in the Lord? They're asking me, is the preaching of the word making a difference in the people's lives? So I give you that question to answer for you. Do you think it matters? Do you think it's making a difference for you? And if not, then you're a forgetful hearer. Right? If it doesn't change you, then you're not doing it. You're a forgetful hearer. Another brother says, professing Christians who are content with only hearing the word have made a serious spiritual miscalculation. I would submit to you that I think many, and perhaps most Christians in our day have made that serious spiritual miscalculation. There are people who think they're safe because they fellowship with Christians, because they hear preaching, because they read their daily breads, because they have their quiet times, but it's not changing them. They're just, they stay the same all the time. Also, we might think that what we are doing pleases God, when what we're doing actually might make God sick. Now, I'm not trying to be smart or give you something that I can't back with Scripture, but it's the truth. God requires that we could be deceived into thinking that I can make God happy with doing what I think He wants done my way. When in reality, He requires that we do exactly what He wants done, what He tells us to do His way and with His help. You say, is there a difference? There's a vast difference. God doesn't want you to do what you think you ought to do. He wants you to do what He commands you to do. He doesn't want you to do what He commands you to do however you want to. He wants you to do what He commands you to do the way that He said do it. And if we're engaged in reading the Bible and doing things, and we're not applying the Word and the Word of God that's food to our soul, if it's not changing us, then we're deceiving ourselves. That's what James is saying. Without permission, when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I was a little guy, I don't know, preteen anyway, my dad used to go to Pep Boys. Do you know what Pep Boys is? Auto parts, like AutoZone and that thing. Pep Boys. They had sales. My dad loved to go in there, and for $2, he'd bring bags of plastic funnels and all kinds of things. Well, he found a vise, little vise, about that big. And it sat there at our house for a long time. He had bought it at Pep Boys. Without his permission, I decided to put his vice on his workbench. The job required that I alter the workbench a little bit with a saw. So there's this beam running across. It's not thick. It was the tabletop, and then under the tabletop there's boards supporting it on the sides, and I needed to take a chunk out of that board on the side. So I got my saw, and I making sawdust. I was so proud of myself. I got that chunk out of there, and now the vise would fit right on my dad's workbench. And so I got it in there and got some screws in there. The job required a lot of effort on my part. I knew my dad would probably not like me taking a saw to his workbench, but I thought he would be overjoyed with it when he saw what I did with that chunk out of his workbench. And now how I had installed his vise. I was happy with myself. I was proud of myself and this expert installation of his $3 vise, but my dad was not as happy as I was. I can remember it to this day. I could just see it in his face, and I could hear it in his voice. He didn't fuss at me, but I knew he was disappointed. And as he turned and walked away, seeming to me sort of sad, I said, "Dad, I can fix it." I took the vise off after he left, and I got a piece of old barn board and I put it up under there on the back, and I put some nails and screws in it, and it looked terrible. He had that when I got married and left home. Every time I saw that workbench, I thought of this. I thought of, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. My dad was not happy like I was. He counted the value of my labors differently than I did. He included the damage. He had his vice, but he included in the value of that the damage that I had done to his workbench. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's not a pleasant memory for me. This illustrates how doing what we think our way may not please the Lord. If we do the Lord's work our way, it may not please the Lord. Because he calculates the value of our service differently than we do. I think, let's just sit here a minute, let that soak in. We may be deceiving ourselves. We have our idea about what holiness is, what God expects of me. Let me tell you, you have not arrived, nor have I. None of us measure up to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus yet. There is a long ways to grow for every person here this morning. We may be deceiving ourselves by thinking that as long as we're studying the Word, we're good. But not so. If you're challenged in your heart and you go away and you forget it before the evening, then nothing was accomplished. This New Testament principle of being doers of the Word and not just forgetful hearers is also illustrated in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. Significantly, his name means God will strengthen. Ezekiel, God will strengthen. Ezekiel was among those who were carried away to Babylon for the captivity. There were three deportations. There was 605 and 597 and 586. There were three. Ezekiel is believed to have been carried away in the second deportation, 597, right alongside King Jehoiachin. King Jehoiachin, he's the one that was cursed. His line was cursed. Interesting story. In chapter 1 and verse 1 of Ezekiel, there's a reference, most people believe, to his age. He was 30 at the beginning of his ministry. He was probably 25 years old when he was taken to Babylon. So he's a young man. This Ezekiel's a young man. His ministry lasted about 22 years, so say from 30 years old to 52 years old. He ministered a long time as a prophet. His ministry began in the fifth year of Jehoiachin's exile, which would have been about 593. It lasted until 571. That's when his last prophecy was recorded. So just a little background. Like Jeremiah and Zechariah, Ezekiel was both a prophet and a priest. He prophesied outside of the land. He was an exiled prophet, preaching to Judah specifically, but also for all of Israel. Everything he said would apply to all of them. So he's exilic. He uses a lot of symbols. He uses a lot of visions, not always easy to understand. He followed a strict chronological order in his writing, which makes it nice to read. There are only a couple of exceptions. His message in the first 11 years of his 22, so half of his ministry, was about this. There were false teachers who announced to the captives that they would soon be restored to their land. They would soon be restored to their land and they would return to Jerusalem. Ezekiel, as the Lord's prophet, predicted that Jerusalem was going to fall, that it would be destroyed, and that there would be no soon return to the land. So quite the opposite of all the other prophets, the false prophets. In chapter 33 and verse 21, an escapee from Jerusalem came to the captives of Babylon to announce that Jerusalem had fallen. And so Ezekiel's prophecy, his 11-year prophecy, has now come true. He sort of confirmed or affirmed in the minds of the people what he said would happened. It must have been of the Lord. So the remainder of Ezekiel's ministry in chapter 33, in verses 23 to 29, he speaks to those who were still at Israel. You know, when the deportations took place, not every soul was taken. There were people left in the land. And so he speaks specifically to those individuals who were thinking while they were there in the land that God had blessed them. They were special and God had blessed them and they had escaped God's judgment. And Ezekiel told them, no, you haven't. In verses 30 to 33, he speaks to those who had been exiled. In other words, the Jews who were with him in Babylon. Who had some problems. They listened gladly. They talked favorably about Ezekiel and his prophecy. They wanted to know, they said, what the Lord had to say. But then the Lord says, Ezekiel, they act like they're listening, but they're not going to do what you say. They were hearers of the word, forgetful hearers, not doers of the word. So you see this little portion here, these few verses, make for us a good illustration of James chapter 1 and verse 22. So let's listen in part 1, beginning in verse 23, the people who were left in the land, okay? He says in verse 23, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given to us for inheritance. So the wasteland is Israel after it's been ransacked and the people hauled off to other lands. These people who are still there have an opinion of themselves that's not true. They're deceiving themselves because they're not listening to the words of God. Their assumption was that since Abraham was blessed of God, God gave him the land, though he was just a sojourner in it. He was just a sojourner here, but God said he would give him the land, and he was just one man. He had 318 servants, and God used this one man's servant, his household, to go out and defeat his enemies. God blessed him while he was in the land. God blessed him in the land when he did not even possess it. And they said, but take us. The whole country has been taken captive, and the Lord has preserved us here in the land. We possess the land. We live here. This is our home. God has given us this land, and we are not one, but we are many. And He will defeat all of our foes with our even greater number of fighting men than Abraham had. And He will bless us, Abraham's descendants, in this land as we have taken possession of it as He ordered, as He commanded. So Ezekiel was to deliver the message. He was commissioned to deliver this message, to tell them for the Lord that they were deceiving themselves. They had failed to remember that Abraham was a righteous man. He obeyed God. He obeyed the word of God while they were wicked and they ignored the word of God. They believed that God would bless them because they maintained their own standards. They looked at themselves and they measured themselves by themselves. And they felt like they were doing really well. And actually, God intended to judge them harshly for their disobedience. And He says, Ezekiel, I got a message. You need to tell the people in the land. Sort of reminds of the Jews of Christ's day. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees? They felt like they would be blessed simply because they were the children of Abraham. Remember? They answered Him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" John 8:33. John 8:39 says, "They answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." Here was this man who could work miracles, who was teaching things that everybody wanted to hear, but they didn't want to hear what He had to say because He condemned them in their self-righteousness. They had deceived themselves, ignoring Christ's words, thinking that God was pleased with them, and in their own, maintaining their own standards of holiness. And they were actually being cursed by God. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were judicially blinded, so they couldn't even hear the truth. So what had these Jews in Ezekiel's day actually done, these people who lived at home in Jerusalem? Verse 25 says, "Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Ye eat with blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land?" So their sin is revealed. They eat with blood. God had given them instruction not to eat the blood in their meat, that they were to drain that out. Genesis 9:4 says, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." And Leviticus 17 and Deuteronomy chapter 12 and other places, they're not supposed to eat the blood, but they are. So what does that mean exactly? I don't know exactly. But they were partaking of blood with their meats. He tells another sin, they lift up their eyes. Lift up your eyes toward your idols. God had instructed them not to worship idols, right? "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image," He said in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4, in the statement of the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. Also in Leviticus chapter 26. Another sin. Number three, they shed blood. God had given them instruction not to shed another man's blood. "Thou shalt not kill," He told them. But they did. And then He says, "Shall ye possess the land?" So God makes a statement by asking this rhetorical question. The obvious answer, are you going to possess the land? What's the obvious answer? No. No way. They had forfeited their right to possess the land because of their sin. And there was more. Look at verse 26. "Ye stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile everyone his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land?" He asked again. So, another sin. They stand upon their sword. They had become dependent upon violence, force to get their way. They were fighters rather than making themselves obedient to God so He could bless them. They just fought for their own blessings. The sword probably has nothing to do here. It's not a reference to war, of their defending themselves, but their sin was the same as those who might. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. They were depending upon themselves. God said not to do that. God had given them instruction to deal fairly and equitably with their fellow man. Leviticus 19:11, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. They were doing all of that. In verse 26, ye work abominations. We don't know what the abominations were. He doesn't even list them. But they knew what they were. God has given instruction not to do those things that He considers abominations. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19 list seven of them. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates those things. They are an abomination to Him. And there are other references to abominations in the Scripture. Verse 26 says that they were defiling every man his neighbor's wife. God had given instruction not to lie with another's wife in Exodus 20 and Leviticus chapter 18. But here they were doing it. And He says, shall you possess the land? Another rhetorical question, and the answer obviously no. They had forfeited their right to the land, as did their counterparts who were already carried away captive, and they would be judged. Look at verse 27. Say thou thus unto them, Ezekiel, tell them this, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast that to be devoured. And they that be in forts and in caves shall die of pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Brothers and sisters, what were they all about? They were hearers of the word. They knew what God wanted. They had possession of the word of God, but they were just hearers. They weren't doers of the word. You say, well, I'm glad we're not like that. Really? Are you a doer of the word? Let me ask that question again. How much does the word of God affect your life from year to year, from month to month, from week to week, from day to day? Has God taught you anything lately? What's the newest addition of character of Christ in your life? Pastor, you're meddling. Okay. That's what pastors do, right? Meddle. They shepherd souls. They desire for you to enter into the presence of the Lord right with Him, having accomplished something for which you will be rewarded at the Bema seat. This is not about Ezekiel's day. This is 2023. It's about us. Are we forgetful hearers? Are you? Shall ye possess the land? Are you going to have the blessings of God upon your life? Are you going to have reward in heaven? They heard God's word, but it didn't affect them. they had continued in the same sins that they were in when God sent the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, to take them captive. The same sins. Rather than bless them, He was going to send severe judgment, and the people who still dwelled in the land would be annihilated. Verse 27 tells them that there would be no place to flee, no place to get away from the judgment. If they were in the city, they would die by the sword. If they were in the country, they would be devoured by wild beasts. If they were in hiding somewhere in a cave, they would die of pestilence or sickness. The same judgments had already fallen earlier upon Jerusalem in Ezekiel 5:17 and 14:21. The result here in our text in verse 29, then shall they know that I am the Lord. What a harsh lesson. But what an unnecessary lesson. How can we prevent God's judgment upon us? I'll tell you, we need to be careful. We need to not deceive ourselves thinking, well, I go to church all the time and I hear the Word of God all the time. If you're not doing it, then so what? That's what Ezekiel says to his people, and that's what James says. That's what the Lord says to me and to you. These were the proud, arrogant inhabitants of the land that thought they could please God by maintaining their own standards and ignoring His, and they were hearers of the Word and not doers. Oh, take warning. Let's take warning. Three verses to go. Verse 30. This is part two. This is talking about the exiles. Those were at home in Israel. These, in verses 30 to 33, they're exiles with him. Look at what he says. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of their houses, and speak one to another, and every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Almost sounds good, doesn't it? They're inviting each other to church. Let's go hear the prophet. Let's go hear what the prophet has to say. These are the Jews in Babylonian exile where Ezekiel lives, and they recognize Ezekiel as a prophet. They see him as what he is. They spoke kindly to him, to his face, but unkindly behind his back. They appear outwardly to have an interest in the Word of God, and the Lord, as it's delivered from the Lord to them by Ezekiel. They seem to be interested, like me. They seem to be interested. Verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. They're hearers, forgetful hearers, and not doers of the word. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. So what's their sin? They talk the talk, but it's not in their hearts. They were forgetful hearers. And the Lord was not impressed with their nice words and their outward show of piety. And we know why, right? 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord, I look at the heart, he said. And these people hear the words, but they're not going to do them because their heart's not in it. Of course, the reason to preach this is to ask, how are our hearts? How are you doing? Are you a doer of the word? Do you care what God thinks? Are you satisfied with where you are? What is new in your life? What spiritual step have you taken in the last year, in the last month, in the last week, in the last day? They won't do them. They believe that God would bless them based on their own standard of holiness, when in actuality God intended to judge the exiles for their disobedience, to judge them harshly. Verse 33, "And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." God was not impressed with their false standard of holiness, and judgment was sure as prophesied by Ezekiel. And the result would be, when it's all over, they're going to say, what Ezekiel said was true. It was true. We should have listened. We should have obeyed the word of God, but we're just hearers, forgetful hearers, and not doers of the word. So if I can kind of summarize this, the proud, arrogant inhabitants of the land of Israel that were left there after the captivity, though ignoring the words of the prophet, they felt like they were blessed because they were Abraham's seed, and they were not annihilated. They were not taken out of the land. God gave them the land. The Babylonian exiles, the ones that were with Ezekiel, believe that because they pretended to listen and they loved the prophet of God and talked very favorably about him, that God would bless them. And they were all forgetful hearers of the word, not doers. They thought they could please God by maintaining their own standard of holiness, and nothing could be further from the truth. You must do the word of God in order to be blessed of God. Don't be deceived. God will not be happy with your doing what you think your way. He will only be happy if we do what He commands His way. I know what you hear while you're at church, because I'm here too. I wonder what you're doing with it, Corinth Baptist Church. I'm no big shot. I'm a sinful piece of dirt. I'm no big shot. It's not big shot talking to the nobodies. This is for me. How is the Word of God changing your life? What's happening with you spiritually? Are you right where you were 6 months ago spiritually? Are we moving forward for Christ? How about you? We have to do the Word of God in order to be blessed by God. The Bible says, you still got James open? Look at James chapter 1 again, verse 22, James 1, 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." That's pretty straightforward. If my nose bled through the night and I have blood on my face and all over the top of my scalp and I come to church, you would say, "Don't you have a mirror?" For somebody who's a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like they looked in the mirror, they saw something they needed to do, but then they didn't do it. They didn't do the word. That's the illustration that he uses. So give me an example. What can we just give only lip service to? I'm going to share seven. Just going to read seven verses. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Galatians 5:16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wives, Ephesians 5:22, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, verse 25, love your wife, your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, or who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Talking about Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. With emphasis on appearance. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You could flip through the New Testament and you could have pages full of commands of the Lord. The New Testament, you've heard messages on every passage. Maybe your heart has been pricked. But the question this morning is, are we doers of the word or forgetful hearers? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share these truths. Father, I pray that they might be received as from you, because it's your word, it's not mine. And I have no ulterior motive. You know my motive, Lord, but maybe somebody else doesn't. But I pray that your Spirit would commune with their spirit and say, these things are truth, because they come from the word of God. And Lord, I pray that each of us would examine ourselves and ask that all-important question, am I a doer of the word? Is it changing me? Or am I just a forgetful hearer? Help us, Lord, and work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.